Recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Chavdalah tonight. So Chavdalah and Amunah 24a, page 47. Okay, I'll begin on the top line. So if you remember in yesterday's Daf, we were describing the process, how the Edim come and how they're examined by the Beis Din. So the top line in the Gemara says, Kamaya Gaboo Lani Anote. So among the questions that the Beis Din would ask the Edim, is how high was the moon in the sky? And kids said, I don't tell, where was it pointed? Where were the horns of the moon pointed? Somebody's not unmuted themselves. I got to mute you again. One second. Mute. Okay, please, if you're muted, stay muted, okay? Until I ask for questions. So he says, so Tanachara, we learn one brice, if the Edom say the moon was in the north, then that establishes the Aegis. The Droma Lo Marklum. They say it's in the south, it's Gornish. It means nothing. Mahatani Ipto, but another Bryce we learned from Fakir, just the opposite. The Droma the Rab Kayamin, if it's in the south, it's sustained. The Tzfona Lo Marklum. In the north, it means nothing. So the Gemara says, Lo Kashin, Kami Borachama, Kami Borachamim. The two Bryces are discussing different times of the year. The first Bryce that says that if it's in the north, that's correct. So with the summer, the second Bryce that says that it's in the south, that's during the winter. So let me explain this first the way that the Meiri has it, and then I'll talk about Rashi. So the way the Meiri explains, it means the just like the sun has a pathway across the sky, and the sun's path across the sky changes from the winter to the summer. So in other words, in the winter, it has a more southerly route. In other words, begins in the southeast and sets in the southwest. It always rises in the east and sets in the west. But in the winter, it rises in the southeast and sets in the southwest. And then it's always arced across the sky. In the summer, it begins in the northeast, sets in the northwest, but it travels to the south during the day. So it's always heading towards the south during the day. But in the summer, it's more extreme. It goes from the northeast all the way to the northwest. So the way the Meiri understands it and the way the Arisul explained it, it means there's a true east and true west. So if the moon is going to set, when it's a new moon, it's going to set soon after darkness. It's going to appear and then set shortly. So if the moon sets in the north, it means north of due west. In other words, if it sets north of due west, then in the summer, that's correct, Aedis. Right, but in the winter, that's not true, because in other words, the sun is following the path the moon is following the path of the sun. So just like the sun sets in the summer in the northwest, it sets in the northwest. So to the moon would be northwest. So if it's in the north, it means north of due west. So in the north, that's correct. They're in the summer, in the winter. If it's in the south, that's correct, because it's setting more in the southwest. That's the way the Meiri explains the sugya. Rashi is much more difficult here. I mean, there's a long Rashi here. Rashi says that the moon always sets in the same spot, and the sun changes during the season. So it depends. So it's saying north or south vis-a-vis the sun. That's the way Rashi's taking it. But it's very hard to. It doesn't accord what we view from our astronomy. So the Derech Meiri is a little bit easier, I think, or a little clearer in this sugya. All right, let me just do a few more lines and then I will pause, okay? I'll do another 10 lines and I'll pause, all right? So we're on the fifth line on Chavdalet Amud Aleph, 24a, page 47, the fifth line. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Echad Omer Gavoa Shtei Mar Da'od. If one aid says the moon was at a height of two ox goads. And it was an ox goad is like a long pole, and they had a standard size. So if one aid says it was like from the horizon going up, from our position, from our perspective, two ox goads, another one says it was three ox goads. So even though there's somewhat of a discrepancy between their aids, he says, that's still a good aid. One says it was three ox goads high, one says it was five ox goads high. That's batel, because the Eidos is too much of a discrepancy between the Eidim. But they could be mitzarev to another Eidos. So in other words, if one Eid said three, one said five, Those two don't. Reuven said three, and Shimon said five. So those two aren't mitzaris. Rav Levi also says three, so Reuven Levi could form a kot, and they could establish the new. All right, let me do a little bit more to the Mishnah, and then we'll pause, okay? So Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Bryce, if the Adam say, remove a mind, we saw the reflection of the moon in the water. We didn't see the moon, but we saw the moon, the new moon reflected in the water. So here this machlok among the Parshim, whether it means that we saw it reflected in a lantern or we saw it through a lantern. So for reasons that I'm going to say in a few minutes, I think the Pshat, I think the Ritva is the one who says we saw it through a lantern. That seems a little clearer from the Gemara that's coming up. I think that works a little bit better. Or we saw it through clouds. So that's not good Eidus. That doesn't establish the Eidus. But if they said Chetzi over Mayim, let's say we saw half the moon reflected in the water. Chetzi over Avim, we saw half the moon through clouds. Chetzi over Ashashit, half of the moon we saw through a lantern. Okay, he says Ein Me'idinalav. So that's not good Eidus either. So the Gemara says Tashta Kulo Amrit Lo Chetzi Mibayis. The Gemara says, what is the verse telling me? If I see the whole moon reflecting in the water, it's not good. So if I see half the moon, would I even think it would be good? What? Once he tells me, if I see the whole object, you know, in the water, I see the whole object through the lantern, I see the whole object through the clouds, but it's not good. So half, obviously not good. Elahaki kamar, this is what the Brisa means. If he saw half of it reflect in the water and half in the sky, remember the moon is low on the horizon when it's the new moon. This is Chetzio Ba'avim and Chetzio Barakia. He saw half through the clouds, half through the sky. Chetzio Ba'ashashit, Chetzio Barakia, half through the lantern, half in the sky. I thought this worked better than saying reflected in the lantern. Ain't me, then that's the key. Even though they're saying half and half, that's not good Avis. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Re'inu, Reshuvla Re'inu, we saw it, and then we didn't see it again. That's not, we can't give testimony from that. Okay, just 1 minute, okay? So the Gemara says, they have to keep watching. How long do you have to see it? They saw it. What do you mean? So they didn't see it again. So what? So the Gemara says, Amar Baye, Abaye says, Haki Kamar. This is what the Brisa means. The Shavnu wrote, tell me, Datenu. And as we saw it, we didn't have a cheshbon in our mind that we want to see the moon, but we just have to saw it. It showed up. We saw it. And then afterwards, we made an intent, you know, to do it intentionally to see the moon, and we didn't see it again. He says, Ein me'idin alav. We can't give testimony in that way. It means not Tishneid, it's my time, or why. Ein mor kubita da iva ba'alma hu dachazi. Because it could be they didn't really see the moon the first time. Maybe they saw like a piece of the clouds that looked like the moon. They think they saw the moon. In other words, they weren't focused on it. They thought they saw something. And then they went to look at it again. They couldn't find it. So they might have actually seen like a piece of the moon. Okay, let's pause. Questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, we're Daniel and then Sal and then whoever is on the Zoom. Go ahead.
I was just...
Okay, just 1 second. Go ahead.
Two different people that have a close enough and a duty. It's instead of, what if you have two different groups? Now you have two against two.
I mean, what is one group saying?
Two of them are saying a two. Two of them are saying a five.
Oh, so that's, I don't know the answer to that question. In other words, they're each saying that they saw the moon. One group says we saw it, you know, high in the horizon. One says we saw it low in the horizon. I'm not sure. What do you have for me, Sal?
What's
in other words, like a glass lantern. In other words, they saw it through the glass of the lantern. Okay, then who had in the Zoom world? Was it you?
No, I was just going to ask if you could stay where you are right now because we can see you now.
All right. Like the ages for the new moon.
Like right.
Anyway.
What's the general? How does the
what Fern?
How does the cot work? Do these two people come together, or they go one and they try to pair up when they get to this meal?
Well, it sounds like they would travel in twos, because the Gemara said earlier that Rabbi Akiva stopped all these zugot, all these pairs of Adim. But it sounds like you can mix and match, you know, afterwards. Okay, any other questions, comments?
Is there this Svara that looking through glasses? I think Sal said that Rabbi Reisner said it's okay to look through glasses, but it isn't actually shit.
Let me talk about that now. Okay, so Daniel and Sal raised the issue about seeing Eidus like through a glass. All right, so let's take a look. So, okay, so this is a piece from the from the Daf Digest. So he says, Chuvas Devar Shmuel questions whether one recite Kiddush Levana if he saw the moon through glass rather than directly. You should know, this is a question of halacha, you know, even seeing it through eyeglasses is a question. In other words, if I see it, okay, please, I need everybody quiet now. Okay, let's just mute everybody, okay? Okay, so let's say I do Kiddush Levana with eyeglasses. Does that count? It's the same question by Kriyas HaTorah as well. Let's say I'm supposed to lay in Parsha Zachor and I'm looking at it with eyeglasses. So is that really considered seeing it mitoch haklaf, or it's going through the glass? So he says, now he's quoting from the Dvar Shmuel. His conclusion is that it is allowed, and he cites a Gemara's proof. So he claims that Kiddush Levana, seeing it through, now he's saying through glass, I don't mean it's a glass pane or whatever. The reason one may not recite Kiddush Levana, if the moon was seen reflected through a lantern, is because it may not be the moon that he sees, but rather a cloud shaped like a crescent. If, however, there were, if, however, there were other people outside who could testify that it is the moon rather than a cloud, it would certainly be permitted for the person behind the glass to recite Kiddush Levana. So he wants to say, it sounds like he's talking about like a glass window, to say it through the glass window. So he's Miyashiv that. The Shvus Yaakov objects to this proof. The Shvus Yaakov, that's Rabbi Yaakov Reischer. He was a rabbi in Germany in the 18th century. So he objects to the proof. The case of the Gemara does not refer to a person who was looking at the moon through the lantern, with the glass merely being an intervening object between his eyes and the moon. Rather, the Gemara refers to a case where the reflection of the moon is what is visible on the lantern. So that was the machlokes that we shown. What is the case with the lantern? Is it seeing it through the lantern, or is it seeing reflected from the lantern? So there's machlokes between the Ritva and the Meiri. I think the Meiri says like that. That's the way the Shvus Yaakov is going. This would be consistent with the previous case of the Braisa of one who sees the moon reflected on the water. This is also the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara. Despite Shvus Yaakov's opposition to the proof, he agrees with the conclusion that it's acceptable to recite Kiddush Levana on the moon that is seen through glass. And Shvus Yaakov cites the Chuvas Halakha Ketanot, who refers to another Gemara's proof that seeing something through glass is the same thing as seeing it directly. The Gemara in Baracho states it is prohibited to recite Bichma when an erva is visible through glass. Clearly, the Gemara does not see sufficiency with seeing something through glass. In other words, it's a little tricky. He wants to say if there's erva, which is, you know, something somebody's exposed, but exposed through glass, so then that's like I'm saying in the presence of the glass. But I'll explain a minute. Clearly, the Gemara does not see sufficiency with seeing something through glass. Consequently, we can rule that one may read from the Torah through glasses. So now, when he said seeing it through glass, I assume he meant through a glass pane. That's what I assume he meant. But he talks about reading from the Torah through glasses. But it's a little tricky. It's not so pashut. And that proof with the erva, it could be the Torah is saying, like, the metzias is, like I, you know, the erva is, like, you know, it's causing me to have certain thoughts and things like that, and it's not appropriate. That's a little different than where the Torah says I should see something. But the point is that you see this Gemara is connected with this other issue about whether seeing something through glass. So, but the pashtus of this Gemara, I mean, the simple shot in the Gemara would be that through glass doesn't work. That would be the simple way to read it, right? Because the Gemara says the key is the one with the lantern. That's the key. So if I say the lantern is that I saw the moon through the lantern, and that's not good, that sounds like seeing something through glass is not allowed. If I see it's seen reflected in the lantern, then it's not necessarily approved. That's the basic idea. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Want to see something good today? Okay. Let's go further in the Gemara. All right, so we're on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph 24a, around midway down the column. Okay, Manitin. Rosh Beitin Omer Makudash, the head of the Bezin says Makudash. And again, the Bezin for Kiddush HaKodesh, so it's the first Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. According to one Tana, it's three Dayanim. According to one, they begin with three, and then necessarily go to five or seven. But it's not a Bezin of 71. It's not the Bezin of 23. It's a much smaller Bezin. So Rosh Beitin Omer Makudash. So way after the Bezdin, now this is during the day. So the Adam saw it at night, and the next day, which is the 30th day of the month, if it's a month that's chaser, so the Bezdin convenes, and if everything's good, then they declare the moon Makudash. Means that today is now the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and then tonight we'll do with the torches when we do torches. So Rosh Beitin Omer Makudash. So the head of the Bezdin says Makudash. He says, "V'kol ha'am onin acharav makudash makudash," and everybody responds, "Makudash makudash." I was thinking today when I did this Gemara, I thought it sort of reminded me a lot of a chuppah, you know, where the end say mekudeshet, mekudeshet. So I spoke to two Talmidei Chachamim who thought there was no connection, and a third Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Packard, thought there might be a connection. I thought there should be a connection with that. Anyway, but let's see back.
Say
it again, repeat.
Women are compared to the moon. Betulah nisadayam arvi'i. The connection between the moon and the...
But what about like repeating it twice? All right, we'll see. Anyway, so bein shenir bizmano, bein shelonir bizmano, mekad shenoto. So whether the moon was seated, bizmano means it was a month that was chaser, and shelo bizmano means it was a month that was malay. As we know, the months could have 29 or 30 days. Mekachnoto or Mekadeshit, Reb Lezer Reb Tzadok Omer, Imlon Reb Zmano, E Mekachnoto, Shepar Chu Shemayim. Reb Lezer Reb Tzadok says, if the moon did not appear Bizmano, in other words, it didn't appear on the night of the 30th, in other words, the night before the 30th, in other words, the night of the 30th in Halakha, that's the day, so then he says, they're not Mekadesh the next day. Now, here, the Minchas Chinuch explains he makes a chiluk between two dinim that the Bezin does. The Bezin makes a cheshbon when the new month is, and then they go through the process of declaring it Mekudash. So based on the Minchas Chinuch, so this Machloket is talking about the latter part. In other words, they declare it Mekudash. But either way, the Beis Din has to make a cheshbon when the new month is, and that'll be controlling it. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says Rosh Beit Din Mechulei, and then the article had that with Minchas Chinuch. So Rosh Beit Din Mechulei, so Manani Mila, where we know this halacha that the din is Rosh Beis Din has to say Mekudash. So Amar Pibar Gamda, Amar Biosi Ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe, Amar Kra, by Deber Moshe at Moadei Hashem. Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Moadei Hashem. So the Pshutov Shemikra is the Moshe Rabbeinu related to the dinim of the holidays to Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara understands this a little bit differently. By Deber Moshe, Moshe is the Rosh Beis Din, and he's declaring Moadei Hashem, which means the Rosh Chodashim. So he's making a declaration that it's Mekudash. So he says, by the Ber Moshe Moadei Hashem, he can't Rosh Beit Din Omer Mekudash. So here we see the Rosh Beis Din declares it to be Mekudash. he says, V'chol Ha'am, Oninah Chara Mekudash Mekudash. Everybody responds, Mekudash Mekudash. He says, Menalan. So where do we know that from? Amar Apap Amar Kro, Ashet Chikru Otam. Again, these psukim are in the... the Torah in Emor with Parshat Moedot that we lay on Pesach and we lay on Sukkot. So it says, so by the Rebbe Moshe Moedei Hashem Bnei Yisrael, it's at the end of the Kriyas Torah, and then in the beginning it says El Moedei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam Mikro Yikodesh Elohim Moedoi Asher Tikru Otam, that you will call them Karibe Atem. There was no read Otam Asher Tikru Otam Asher Tikru Atem, that you will declare them to be Mekudash. That's the way the Gemara understands it. He says, in other words, if you read it the way it is, in other words, it's not spelled Male in the Torah, so I could read it, Atem. Rav Nachbar Yitzchamar, Elahim Moadai. Rav Nachbar Yitzchamar has a different drasha, but it's from the same Pasuk. It says, Elahim Moadai, these are my holidays. The word Haim is a superfluous term. It could say Elah Moadai. What's Elahim Moadai? Haim Yomru Moadai, that everybody will declare that these are my Moadais, my holidays. Now, the Gemara says, Mekudash, Mekudash, phrase in Ilamali. So, why do we have twice? So, I understand they have to declare it. So, everybody will say it's Mekudash. Why do you have to say Mekudash twice? So, the Chiv, Mikra'i Kodesh. He says, Ashutam, Mikra'i Kodesh, Elohim Moadai. You'll call them Mikra'i Kodesh. You'll call them like holy days. So, Mikra'i Kodesh, Rashi says, three times before it gets wide. In other words, you'll declare them Mikra A Kodesh. It hints we're saying something twice. Okay? All right, let me go to the next mission, then we'll pause and take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? Reblazer Ritzadok Omer, Moni Ratabas Manoe Makachanto. The Tan Reblazer Ritzadok says, if the moon did not appear Bizmano, Bizmano means on the night of the 30th, so then the next day is going to be Rosh Kodesh then. This is a Mekadshanto. So I explained already, according to Minchas Chinuch, it means the Beis Din won't go through this formality like we saw from the Pesukim of declaring Mekudash, but they'll still make a cheshbon when the new month is. He says, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Plimo Omer, Bizmano in Mekadshanto, Shlo Bizmano Mekadshanto. Plimo says, Punk Baker, just the opposite. That Bizmano, if it's a 30th day's Rosh Kodesh, then they're not Mekadish it. If shlo bizmano, if it's chodesh male, then they are mekadesh it. He says, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon Omer, ben kach uben kach in mekadeshin oto. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon says, the Beis Din never declares a matan kudash. He says, shenemar, b'kidashtem ishnat ha-chamishim. It says concerning the Yovel year in Parshat Bahar that the Beis Din is commanded to sanctify the 50th year. So the Gemara darshens out the first wide line, shanim ha-tamekadesh, that you have mitzvah to be mekadesh years, b'yatamekadesh parashim. You have no mitzvah to be mekadesh months. So I guess that's maybe the easiest shot. He says, Amar Rabbi Yudamar, so that's the Tanaim. Now, Amar Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, Halacha Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok. So Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, Halacha follows Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok, who we had in our Mishnah. He says that if it's only Bizmano that we're Makadosh it, Shlo Bizmano, we're not Makadosh it. So the Beis Din only declares to be Makudash on the 30th day. He says, Amar Abaye, Afanan Nami Taniya. So Abaye tries to bring a proof to shore up Shmuel's sock that the halacha follows Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok. The Braisa said, this is the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in tomorrow's daf. The Mishnah says, Ra'u Beit Din before Yisrael. Let's say at night, the Beis Din saw the new moon, and everybody saw the new moon. It was like a crystal clear night, and the moon was absolutely clear. Nechru Ha'edim, the Edim were subsequently examined, the next day. Well, it was speak with Lamar Makudash Achachashecha. And before the Beis Din could declare Makudash, it was nightfall. Hareza Me'ubar. So the Tana of the Mishnah says it's Me'ubar, meaning the Beis Din was not successful in declaring it Makudash on the 30th day. Now it's nightfall. So now they can't. So since the 30th is not Rosh Chodesh, so the next day has to be Rosh Chodesh. Hareza Me'ubar. Now the diuk is, it doesn't say like Hareza, you know, Mekadesh it. Now there's a mitzvah on the Beis Din to be Mekadesh the day tomorrow. It doesn't say that. Just as Hareza Me'ubar. That's the proof that Abaye wants to propound. It just says it's Me'ubar. Doesn't say that there'll be Mekadesh it, right? So it doesn't say Hareza Mekadesh L'machar. That's what we'd expect to say. Hareza Mekadesh L'machar. They didn't do it today. So we Mekadesh it tomorrow. It doesn't say that. So see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ubar in Mekudash Lo. So the implication is there's no obligation to be Mekadesh it the next day. That sounds like on all fours with Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily a proof. Because had the Braisa said, Hareza Mekadesh Lo Machar, if the Braisa said, Hareza Mekadesh Lo Machar, I would have thought that it means that retroactively, since the Beis Din saw it and all of Israel saw it, and now they declare tomorrow, I would have thought what the Braisa means is retroactively for Mekadesh it tomorrow, like sort of like nunc pro tunc, like we say in law, now for then. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so Me'ubar, it's the Rechalei. So he had to say Me'ubar, Taka the Chamina, Hovru, Beit Mekol Yisrael, Yifarsim, Avala Labrua. I would have thought that now everybody saw it. It's like so self-evident that it's a 29-month day. So we won't be Ma'abri the month. So he says, Kamash Malan. So that's what the Braisa is teaching. We don't say that. But the fact that he didn't say Harezim and Kadeshet isn't necessarily a proof to Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
How does the Beit Din not have a chance to be Mekadesh? In other words, the Edim or everyone who were the Edim, all of the Edim, Klal Yisrael saw it at night, right?
Night.
So then how is it different from having the Ketot coming and seeing it at night traveling?
Yeah. So I tell you the truth, I need to see this Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, but it could be a situation, let's say everybody saw it, but everybody scattered all over the place. You know what I mean? Like they saw it in different locations or something like that. Until everybody got assembled in the location for the Beis Din, and then they could, you know, investigate the Edim, or, you know, I don't know, maybe it was a big storm or something like that. I don't know.
But I can't understand if more people saw it that it took longer to get to kosher Edim.
One second. Give me 1 second. So this is a couple of days. Yeah. So 1 second. Yeah. All right. Well, it's in tomorrow's daf, but I'm not sure about more of the facts of what took place. All right. Unless you say they saw it like before nightfall, which is unlikely, but if they saw it like the moon is like setting, so maybe they saw the moon right before it set. I don't know. We'll have to see. What are you? So they saw it during the day. Okay, so Yosef says, article says they saw it during the day. So they saw it during the day, so that everybody could
have seen it
like 5:45 p.m. And then the Besdin convenes and examines the Edom, and then it's Chashecha. That would be the way we could go. All right. Any other questions?
Come here. The Kadesh Potam, we learn at 10. So we're saying what really makes it Mekudash is the Am, not the Abetin or Rosh Bedin, who says Mekudash.
Who says that?
And that's what my understanding is when we say Otam and Tem, and we throw Otam. And we're relying on the Am to come in.
The mitzvah of the Am to say Mekudash, but I don't know if that's Ma'akeh.
What do we learn from Otam Atem?
In other words, so there's a mitzvah on the people to say it, but I don't know if that's Ma'akeh.
So what locks it in is
I think it's a direct question. Again, we said there's two dinim. One is that the Bezdin makes the calculation, and second is a mitzvah for the Bezdin to say Mekudash. So there's a mitzvah on the people also to say Mekudesh, but I don't know I don't think either one locks it in, because it's locking in according to Chaschinah is the calculation of Bezdin. But in terms of the key mitzvah of Mekudesh, so I don't know if the Am is vital for that part of the mitzvah.
Analogy is the witnesses who lock it in.
What?
In a chuppah, for example, it is the witnesses who...
Yeah, but it's not the statement of Mekudesh. That's just like icing on the cake. All right. Anyway, what's up?
No, I was going to say... Tosha says on the top here that there's no rainbow at night.
Is that so?
On the top of Hodala.
Yeah.
Is that so?
I've never seen one at night. It works with the refraction of light, so it doesn't make sense that it would be at night. You need light to see it for the rainbow, right, the light goes through the water and then it gets refracted. That would be normal.
You're going to be refracted from the moon.
What? All right. I don't know. All right. Let's see further. For Primo, who says, so I don't know, but I would assume that, again, it's really just the opposite side of the coin of Rav Lazar Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Lazar Rav Shimon make sense? No. Rav Lazar Rav Shimon says you do it on a month that's chaser, you declare it Mekudash. That's what I meant. Rav Lazar Rav Tzadok, right. So he's the opposite of Rav Lazar Rav Tzadok, right. Yeah, but again, you go like calculation on all days. There's something about declaring Mekudash that this is so. It's like there's a mitzvah to declare Mekudash, a 30-day month is the real bona fide. I don't know more. Okay. All right, I'm going to move on to the next sugya. Everybody with me? Okay, so we're 5 lines from the bottom on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph 24a. Everybody with me? So Manitin, the Mutzru Levan Yulu Rabban Gamliel Tavlo Bekotel Ba'aliyato. So Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasim, he had images of the moon on a tablet and on the wall in his upper attic, his story, where his room, Shebehen Mareda Hedyotot, he would show the pictures. So Hedyotot, people weren't maybe necessarily so educated, didn't know maybe how so well to describe the moon. And it's a little bit like an entomologist. It's clearer this way, that way. Did it look like
it's
this?
It's a cheat sheet.
Like that. Well, he said, Omer, HaKazera Ito, because did it look more like this or did it look like that?
You know, they
like this says, I don't understand the horns this way, that way, the other way. So was it more like this picture or that picture? Okay, now. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara gets into a whole discussion, are you allowed to make images of the moon? Are you allowed to create an image of the moon? So the Gemara says, Mishari, are you allowed to have a picture of the moon? So there's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Truma, says, Lo tasuniti Elohei chesed Elohei zahav, Lo tasu lachem. Now, at the end of Yitro, right. So it says, Lo tasuniti, then it said, it nachta, So if you just read it with the Anach, don't make with me that which is with me, don't make images of Shamashai, those things that serve me, in other words, the heavenly place, serve us. Says you're not allowed to do it. How is it the Rabbi Gamliel had pictures of the moon? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Lo Asra Torah, Shamashin Shefshar La Asot Motan. Now, the Ritva explains that Abaye doesn't even necessarily agree with what he's saying. Abaye is just saying, it's going to be clear that there are Isurim about making pictures of the moon, but Abaye is just saying, from this Braisa, it's not Mukhrach that you have a problem with making a picture of the moon. Because I could say, looking at this Braisa, And the way Rav Leibowitz pointed out, like Rabbi is going to have like three qualifications to this halakha, and each one will get pushed aside. So the first qual, lo asratol shamashin she'efshar la'asot motan. Perhaps the Torah only prescribes making pictures of shamashim that we could make something identical to it. In other words, I can't really make like the moon. I can't create an object which is the size of the moon or the sun, but other shamashim, and I'll say shamashim, like things that are made to serve me, then I could have it. We'll see in a minute. Kidatani, two lines from the bottom on Amud Aleph. Lo yasedam beit nechal. A person shouldn't build a structure like with the same dimensions as the Beis HaMikdash. Achsadra tavin ulam. You shouldn't build a portico with the same dimensions of the ulam, the antechamber of the Beis HaMikdash. Chatser kinegra. I shouldn't create a chatser like with the dimensions of, again, the way Rashi in Avodah Zarah, and Rabbi Leibowitz quoted this, he says it has to be the same dimensions as the Azar in the Beis HaMikdash. Shulchan keneged shulchan. I shouldn't have a shulchan like the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. Menorah keneged menorah. I shouldn't have a menorah like in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval oseh turn page on the top line of the Shabbat base. Aval oseh shel chamisha. I can make a five-branch menorah. Bishel shisha, a six-branch menorah. Bishel shmona, an eight-branch menorah. But the seven-branch menorah I should not create, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. Even if I use other metal, you know, in the Torah, it says the menorah is zahav, gold. So even I'm not going to make it out of gold. I'll make it out of silver. Or I'll make it out of, iron. Even that's prohibited. And Rashi brings down, it's a klal pradu klal. Look at the top line of Rashi and the second line of Rashi. But afilu shashar mini matachot. Because those things are also kasher for the Beis HaMikdash. Like we learn in the Braisa, the asita menorat klal. This is vasita menorat zahav a tahor. And then mikshate asam menorat. It says in the pasuk in Parshas Truma. So the Gemara darshans, the Braisa darshans, via asita menorat klal. Asita menorat, that's a generalization. You should build a menorah out of anything. He says zahav tahor prat. And this says, make it out of gold. That's a prod. It's called prod. If the Torah would stop right now, I would think it only out of gold. He says, miksha te'aseh, it should be beaten, chazar klal. That's another klal. Maha prat meporo shomatechet, akol shomatechet. So just like the prod is metal, so any metal is good for the menorah. Then the braisa continue, or the gemara continues on line three. It's the braisa as well. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer, af shaleitz, lo yaseh, keder shasum alteich ha-shmona'i. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, you're not allowed to even make a menorah out of wood, like the chashmonaim made out of wood, is what he says. And Rashi brings down what's in the Kud of the Machloket. So look in Rashi again on line four, the fourth wide line. In other words, this Tana holds that even wood is kasher in the Beis HaMikdash. So we've had this before. It's two, hermeneutic principles, klal, prado, klal, ribui, mean ribui. So they're both darshaning the same words. One's the generalization, specification, generalization. One's an amplification, and then what is the other word? Not amplification, and then limitation and amplification. So with the ribui miut, I include more items than the klal prad. When it was klal prad, you have to have a klal prad, I say it's only gold. And then klal prad klal, I say it's any metal. With the ribui and miut, when I'm done with the first two terms, I say it's any metal. And then the last ribui, it includes everything except for something in the left field. So there we said the krab ribui mute. my Rabbi, Rabbi Komili, my Mi'ed Chera. So the only thing, according to the second opinion, you're not allowed to make is out of earthenware. Bachim Farsh Laba Benacho. So back in the Gemara, on line 5 in the Gemara, Amrulo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Misham Raya, that's your proof from the Chashmonaim. Shvodim Shel Barzelayu. They didn't make it out of wool. They made it out of. Please, I just need quiet till I open the door. Okay, just 1 minute. Okay, okay. Everybody remain muted until I pause for questions. Okay. He says Misham Raya, Shvodim Shel Barzelayu. It was like of, like spit, like a metal spit. It was iron. The Chipum Bebaatz. They covered it with tin. So in other words, it wasn't wood. It maybe looks something different because it was tin. Is Hashiru, then when they got more money, Asom Shel Kesef, they made it out of silver. Kazru Hashiru, they got more money, Asom Shel Zahav. So they made it out of gold. So again, let's just focus. So we asked the question, how could Rabbi Gamliel have these images of the moon on his wall and on his tablet? You're not allowed to make images of the moon. So Abai says, no, the only Isur. That's you can't make an image of the moon because the moon is too big. So the Easter is making like an Ashamish that you could make something of the same dimensions, like the Shulchan or the menorah. That's what the prohibition is. So if this shot would hold, then we'd be in the clear. And the question would be deflected. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts? Aaron Moshe, you want to say something? Aaron Moshe? I can't hear you. You want to say something or not? You good? Let me go further in the Gemara. All right, now. Right, then you're fine. Now, all right, now the Gemara says on line 8 in the Gemara, Shamashim Shiv Shalastan Kumotan Mishari. Is that really true that if I can't, actually replicate it, then I have a green light to make images? Is that true? And the Gemara has to prove it's not true. But Hatani, we learned the Braisa, Lo Ta'asuniti, the same Pasuk, don't make with me. This brisa says more explicitly than the previous brisa, right? The previous brisa says, "Lo tasun kidmut shamashai." Don't like the images of those of things that serve me. So thereby, he was able to say, "Oh, it means like the base of Mikdash where Hashem is served." This brisa says, "Don't make an image of things that serve me in the heavens, in the marom, the heights." So Amar, so here Abaye comes again to the rescue. Amar Abaye, Lo astra Torah. So Abaye says, the Peshan that Braisa could be, that maybe it's only proscribing, making images, the vision that Yechezkel has of, the Mud Arba Chayot, the image of the four creatures. And in other words, they have a creature with four faces, the Arba Panim Lechat, man. Each one has four faces. So maybe that's what it's saying. Don't make that fourth-faced object or a being. So the Gemara says, Alamiata, parts of Adam Lahuda Tishri. So if that would be true, so again, this is Abaye's second attempt to sort of defend Rabbi Gamliel. And Abaye is an Amar, he's living, many years after Rabbi Gamliel. He says, so then a person's face, which should be permissible. So the person is only one of the four. So the only prohibition is to make all four, then I should be permitted to make a parts of Adam. Alamatanya, how can we learn another price now? Kula parts of Mutarin. You can make images of anything, put me parts of Adam, except for the parts of Adam. So I assume he means the parts of the chayot, the other images, but the parts of Adam you're not allowed to make. So this is running into problems now. So I'm Rav Huna B'Rei Ravidi, Mipirkei D'Abaye Shmili. So Rav Huna B'Rei Ravidi says, from the shir of Abaye, I heard, Lo ta'asuniti, lo ta'asun oti. It means lo ta'asun oti. That what does it mean? That why is it problem making an image of man? Because I should read the pasuk not lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun oti. Don't make an image of me. So either it means man is created b'tzelem elokim. This is one thing I saw. So man is like b'tzelem elokim. So we make an image of man. It's like making it of Hashem. Or in the Nevi'im, sometimes Hashem appeared to the Nevi'im like in their vision, like the person speaking to them. So something like that. So then the only, if this is true, the only prohibition is making an image of man. So the moon is okay. So if it's true, but it's not going to be true. Ushar shamashin mishari, I mean the other shamashin, we learn another brisa, lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun, I don't make images of those things that's serving the heavens. So we had that in the previous Brisa. But now the Brisa spells it out. Like all these celestial beings. So it's not just man. Clearly, images of angels and things like that. So Amar Abaye, Lo Asra Torah, El Hashem Hashim Shabador Ha'elyon. So Abaye, this is his last attempt to stave off disaster. He says that the Torah only prohibits making images of Hashem Hashim in the upper abode. In other words, like there are different, you know, different heavens, like the Gemara Chakita, seven heavens, seven Rikim. In the Mador Ha'elyon, the upper abode. So things in the Mador HaTachton, it was the planets, those in the Mador HaTachton. Shemador HaTachton Mishari, is that permissible? Bahatanya, he says, Asher Bashamayim, Rabot Chama Ulevana Kochavim Masalot. So, can you read the whole pasuk for me, somebody? Yosef, you have the whole pasuk for me here? That's not it.
No, it's
Okay, I got it. Okay. So don't make an image a Sherba Shemayim, Larabot Chama Ulavana, that is marred with the sun and the moon, so not looking good for Rebbe Gamliel, Kochavim Umazalot, the stars and the constellations, and then that's Bashamayim, Mima'al, Larabot Malachi Hashare. So now, this is really looking bad for Rebbe Gamliel and for Abai's attempt to defend the situation. So the Gemara says, Kitanya Hila Avdam. So the Gemara says, when it says that I can't make those images, it means making the images with intent to serve them, to worship them. So the Gemara says, Hila Avdam, if it's an attempt to worship them, then you should be prohibited from making an image of like a small worm. So the Gemara says, in Achinami, absolutely. He says, Titani, we learn in the Braisa, Asher Ba'aretz, Rabot Harimu. Include mountains and hills, Yamimu Naharot, oceans and rivers, Afikim, like springs, with Yod and valleys, Mitachat, Rabot Shushul Katan. So the Gemara says, so we think right now the prohibition is only making an image with intent to serve the image. So the Gemara says, Vasigri Dak Mishari, meaning, but if you're just making the image not to worship it, is that really permissible? Bahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, these Braises keep collecting. Daniel is with me. Bahatanya, lo tasumiti, lo tasum kidwit shamashai, hamasham shimulathanai. Don't make an image of like my shamashim. So now the nail is in the coffin. Now it's all finished. The whole defense has fallen apart. And really, you're not allowed to make an image of the sun, the moon, and everything else. So how did Rabbi Gamliel do this? So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Gamliel, the Achirim Asulo. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel was different because Achirim, actually says Nachrim, non-Jews made it for him. Non-Jews made it for him. Now, Tosus gets into the issue that how do these non-Jews make it for him? In other words, it's an Avera to ask the non-Jews to make it for you. So Tosfos says, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth last Tosfos. He says, so he says that it was a mitzvah, it sounds like that it was okay, but I don't know. Anyway, so, but the thing is that non-Jews brought the images to him. Let's get back on the Gemara. He says, is that true? And the Gemara is going to have different answers for Rabbi Gamliel. So the first answer is that non-Jews made it for him. So the Gemara says, is that permissible? So Rabbi Yehuda was an Amori. He lives many years after Rabbi Gamliel. He had a ring, and non-Jews made the ring for him, and it had an image on the ring. He says, "Va'amrli Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda," and Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel was his rabbi. Remember, he studied by Rav, and then after Rav died, he studied by Shmuel. "Va'amrli Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda, shinna sharp one, sami ain't a day. You have to deface that ring. In other words, like there's an image on the ring, you have to deface it. So if not who's making it gives you a heter, so how come Shmuel said get rid of it? So the Gemara says, Hakam Chotamo Boleit Hava. He says there it had like relief. In other words, it came out. It projected out. In other words, it wasn't just a two-dimensional image, it was like a three-dimensional image. He says, Umishim Chashada. And the concern was Chashad, that people would suspect that it's an avodah zara for him. So therefore he said to face it. Kidatanya, like we learn in the Baraisa, Tabat. If you have a ring and the ring has an image that projects like from the ring, you're not allowed to put that ring on because people will think it's like you're maybe worshiping a type of avodah zara. Mutar lach tomba, he says, I could seal like a letter with wax in it, because if it's bolate, when I seal the letter with wax, so it's recessed. So the recessed image is okay. It's just the projected image isn't good. He says, Chotamo shokea, if the chotam is recessed, the ring is recessed, mutar l'nicha, you can put it on. You can't be chotam with his projected image. So there's still, so umichai shin l'kashad. So the word says, are we choshesh for chashad? With Hoshe, that people will think that you're worshiping the avodah zara. But there was a shul called Shafi Yatev. It means like I don't know, destroyed, unsettled in Neir Doa. The Habibi in Dartha, there was a statue of the emperor in it. He says, and it sounds like the Jews had to put it there, like the government was insisting on it. Rabbi Eili, Rabbi Shmuel came to that shul. Yehud Shmuel, Levi, and Shmuel's father and Levi, who they prayed in that shul, even though it had the image. And if you're saying, whenever there's an image, you have to be choshesh, the person's this is a little chashi, the chashad. They weren't concerned about chashad there. So the verse is Rabbi Mshani. The people aren't choshesh the rabbim that they're doing a avodah zara with it. The verse is Rabbi Gamliel was a yachid. So how does he get out of it? He's got this image of the moon. Came into Nasi who shchichi rabim gabe. So the Gemara says he was a Nasi, because always like a zillion people hanging around with him, just like rabim. He bite ema, or else I could say the prakim habit was something that came apart. He would take it apart and reassemble it, which is less objectionable. The e bite ema l'hitla made of it. Or I could say he made it for teaching purposes. He says uktiv lo tomad la asot. You shouldn't learn to make these things. About Talamed Labin Larod, you can make it to understand. It's similar like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the members of Sanhedrin would learn Kishuf, because as the Sanhedrin, they had to be able to judge, like if a person was brought before them on charge of Kishuf, I have to know what Kishuf is, so I have to know what's going on with the Kishuf. And that's the limud here. All right, now let's look at one Tosfos. Just 1 minute, I'll talk and then we'll open up the floor, okay? Look at the second toast, the second wide line in Tosfos. He says, Yachid, you know, one of my Rebbeim, Reb Rashbil, he used to say the short Tosfos are the ones that are killers. Like you have the Tosfos, like there are 5 or 7 or 10 words. He says, Bahab Gamliel Yachid, Tema, and we know Tema's Tosfos' strongest question, right? He says, Bahatsur Gamliel Loi Tapalefid. So, but Rabbi Gamliel's image wasn't something that projected out. It sounded like in the Gemara, I only get to a problem when it's bole. And Rabbi Gamliel's image wasn't bole. In other words, he wants to say, like, when I look at the sky, so the chama doesn't appear that it's three-dimensional. From the way I see it, it looks two-dimensional as I view it. So there, I do have a problem, even it sounds like with two-dimensional. Okay, now let me talk about some halacha maisa, and then we'll talk, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, the first thing we do this piece, and then I'll do a piece here, depending on how much time we have. Today is Shavuot. Okay, so the Gemara got into this whole discussion of Lo Ta'asun. Okay, the Gemara says that there's a rabbinic isur to maintain images in one's possession, even if made by a non-Jew, because of Chashad. Someone might suspect the owner of practicing idolatry. The Gemara answers that since Rabbi was an Asi, whose house was always full of visitors, his concern of Chashad, suspicion does not apply, because people would not suspect one of worshipping idols publicly. The Rambam writes that it is only forbidden to manufacture and maintain images mentioned in the Gemara, which includes the sun, moon, and stars. You know, I'll tell you, at YU, outside the base letters, they brought this artist in to decorate like this sort of area. And it was not in the base letters, but it was like, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50 feet away from the base letters. And the artist started making pictures of the sun, the moon, the stars. And then I think the Rebbeim insisted that she like take it out and she redid it. There's no sun, moon, stars anymore. Let's take a look. Now, he says, the four faces that are on the heavenly chariot is described in the Chesgel. That's a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. And the mazalot, signs of the zodiac and angels. Images of other things such as animals and trees are permitted, as he says. But that's according to the Rambam. The Ramban disagrees and asserts that the concern of Chashad applies to all types of images. The Ran, while agreeing with the Ramban, limits the concern of Chashad to images which the Gentiles sometimes worship. The Gemara distinguishes between an image which protrudes and an image which is recessed, bolet and shokea. The Rambam writes that it is prohibited to make or maintain a protruding image of man, but it's permitted to engrave or paint a recessed picture of a man. However, the Rambam says that this distinction does not apply with regard to the celestial beings or heavenly images. In other words, according to the Rambam, and the Mefarshim question this Rambam, the Rambam takes it that if it's a celestial body, then even a two-dimensional image is prohibited. But if it's a picture of an image of a man, then it's the recessed image, which is the more problematical one. So some of the Mefarshim want to say, why should they make such distinctions? So somebody asks, what is the distinction? So some want to say the Rambam is Mechalik because the celestial body is like to a viewer on earth, they appear to be two-dimensional. That's the way it appears in the sky. So when I make the two-dimensional thing, but man appears like people see people, they see them with depth. He says, Tosfos also indicates that it is prohibited to maintain pictures or engravings of the sun and moon, even if they are recessed. He explains that since the sun and moon always appear to us as two-dimensional figures, it's prohibited to paint even a two-dimensional picture of them. However, it is permitted to maintain a two-dimensional picture of a human being since its appearance is different from that of an actual human, which is viewed in real life as three-dimensional. The Ramban contends that one is permitted to maintain any type of picture in his home, even one of the sun moon, as long as not bolate. So there's a question. In other words, obviously, when things are bolate, that's worse. That's the first klal. And there's a question, what am I allowed to have? So the Ramban says, I can keep pictures, it's not bolate, doesn't have any like projections to it. However, the Ramban asserts that the distinction between raised and recessed images pertains only to the rabbinic Easter maintaining images, chashad, but the biblical Easter, lota asun, we take the form of celestial images, applies even recessed images. So we see from the above that producing and maintaining non-protruding pictures or paintings of non-celestial images is permitted according to all opinions. So I run into the biggest problem when I do things in the sky, like the sun and the moon and stars and things like that. But if it's not in the sky and it's two dimensions, then I'm in better shape. The Mabit rules that due to the concern of Chashad, it is forbidden to have paintings of celestial beings in the synagogue. Even though the Gemara says that we need not be concerned for Chashad in public places, a synagogue is different because one must be particularly careful to avoid appearances of idolatry in our house of worship. Please, just one second. The Shulchan Aruch writes that even though it is permitted to have paintings of non-celestial images, one should not pray facing a painting because the images will disturb his concentration and devotion. The Magen Avraham comments accordingly that it is forbidden to paint pictures of any type on the walls of a synagogue unless they are placed higher than the worshipper's direct view. So images are always like a problem in halacha. Okay, now.
It's also a problem when you go to the city, you do stuff on the outside, and most of the shul is shackling to the Levana, not shackling to the Yerushalayim. It's everybody are open to the Chabib.
All right. One second. All right. All right, let me just... So what does Rabbi Kahn say? The moon. Okay. All right, now... so we did the Rashi Prakram. We'll say this. There's all these things that come up with people making images. He quotes from the Shelos Yaves, from Yaakov Emden, that somebody made like this image of a rabbi who was inducted as a rabbi in Amsterdam. And he writes that he comes out strongly against it. And he says... In other words, he created the head and the chest. In other words, he didn't create the whole body, but he created like a head and a chest. And he was against it. You know, let me say one thing quickly, running out of time. You know, they had this was, I don't remember the circumstances, but they had, I remember hearing about this. They had like, I think it was like the 200th Yortzeit of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, was in 1997. And they invited all these people to Vilna, or Vilnius as it's called now, for this commemoration. And they had like, I think some statue, like from the chest up of the Gra. And one of the speakers said, like, you know, I don't know who's running the show there. He says like the Gra would be so much against this whole thing with the whole thing, but that's it. Now with photographs, what? Yeah, but even but that's the shilus yavetz is even you know part of the body. Anyway, that's what I believe it was like a bust. Anyway, now with photographs, there were people who were mocked. Like even against somebody taking a picture of them, and you see like in some of these older pictures from Europe, sometimes people put like their hands over their face. They don't want to be photographed. But today everybody is make with photographs. And you know, there's like, I don't know if he consented to it, but there's pictures of the Chafetz Chaim and there's movies of the Chafetz Chaim.
Okay. Japan.
The sun and the moon. That doesn't sound that it's so good. I don't know what to say, but. It doesn't sound like it's so good, Pialaka, but I don't
know. There's a famous.
I have to look, but it doesn't sound like it's good. What's up?
There's a famous story of a mayor, Mayor Shapiro, who came to the Sif as a young man, and he saw that they were trying to take a picture of the. Of the Shoftes Paneach and Shir Rosen, and he kept on covering his face. He wouldn't let them take a picture.
Okay. I got to wrap up in 10 seconds. Go ahead. Is there more? What do you got?
You know, so he said to him, "Stomach the gone not forgetting the gone not forgetting that medrash." He says, "Ich hab vergessen that medrash." He says, "Which medrash did I forget?" He says that Yaakov Avinu was like the fourth on the Kisa Yaakov. So anyway, he took the picture, and that's the only picture of Yishir Rosen of the Tzafnas Paneach due to the Mayor Yishpira.
Okay, please excuse me. I got to end. Okay, one second.